It's time. Time for stimulating talk. Time for thought-provoking conversation. Time for the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600. Turn on your brain and get the real scoop on today's topics and events. Here is Lisa Wexler.
And welcome to the show today. Good morning, good morning. Lots to talk about. We only have a couple of people joining us we know this morning, so that means you are welcome to be part of the show. And as Ed Sullivan used to say, it's a really big one, a really big shoe. 203-333-9422 was our number. I'm Lisa Wexler. Good morning on this spectacular Tuesday. If you miss Melissa Sheketoff in the morning, you'll know that yesterday Governor Lamont spoke. And the bottom line is he would like to see people continue to get vaccinations. There are more and more mobile vaccination units being fanned across the state. This morning, I saw in the hour that he is encouraging people to proceed with graduations, outdoor for sure, maybe even indoor, and also to turn back the spigot on our Memorial and July 4th Day parades. I know some of our communities had already announced they were canceling them, but maybe they can restart them. Governor Lamont obviously feeling very optimistic. Here in Connecticut, we have an extraordinary amount of people that have already received their first vaccine. Over 60% of adults have already received the first vaccine, which means they're well underway to being completely immunized as much as possible by these vaccines. And what we are told is that after you get your first vaccine, you're 80% effective towards immunization, and you're 90% with the second vaccine 2 weeks later. So keep getting your appointments, keep getting online. If you're in New York City, you can go to TurboVax, which is the go-to place to get your vaccine appointment. People love it. But here in Connecticut, people are using VAMS, and that's fine. Or sometimes they're picking up the phone to call the local hospital. 203-333-9422. Yesterday, we spent a fair amount of time with Dan Wisniewski, who was the sole Republican member left of the edit committee in Trumbull, the edit committee standing for Equity, Diversity, Inclusion Task Force. And that was a committee that was selected by town council. There was a lot of hullabaloo and Sturm und Drang and controversy surrounding whether or not Tara Figueroa should stay as the chair of the edit committee, because after she was appointed, some social media surfaced of comments that she made from before she was appointed, in which she drew an analogy from the Blue Lives Matter signs, which were pilfered by a few Trumbull youths who were caught and punished. And she said that in support of them, to some extent, she said that those signs represented, in her view, symbolic of the Confederacy. And she was drawing a line between some of the far right supporters of the Blue Lives Movement and some of the far right supporters of even the now Confederacy symbols. And in any event, this created an immediate backlash. Some people who support the police felt offended by this. Other people went incredibly, unacceptably too far, and even somebody suggested that they should do a cross burning on her lawn on social media, in writing. That person, incidentally, I'm not sure if the police ever showed up at his or her door and said, "Excuse me, what kind of language are you using on social media?" But in any event, all of this resulted in an upheaval and a conversation about the committee and about the leadership going forward. Dan came on our show yesterday to speak essentially about the committee and their mission and support Tara going forward. He didn't see anything about her leadership that would require her to step aside as chair or even be removed from the committee. Yesterday was the town council meeting, and I'm very glad that one of the members of the town council of Trumbull has called in this morning to tell us exactly what happened from his point of view and what were the results. Joe, how do we pronounce your last name?
Lisa, it's Joe Garricks. And just to be clear, I'm no longer on the town council. I sat on the town council last year and was a member when we created the committee. And I was present for public comment last night to make some points known. And I am aware of how the meeting turned out. So I'm happy to share information there. But I did want to be clear that I'm no longer a town council representative.
Understand. Joe, by the way, you were town council when the committee was created. Just give us the framework. It was created in 2020 or sooner than that? When was it was created?
No, it was created. It was created last year, and I couldn't tell you the exact date. But obviously, I believe that there's been kind of a reckoning with racism that's been happening, you know, nationwide. And it's always been my feeling, well before that, that in Trumbull, people of color are underrepresented in our town government. Actually, until our last election, we had never had female woman of color on our town council. Now, fortunately, we do. But our appointments, most of our boards and commissions are primarily made up of white people and most frequently white males. So, that had always been something that I was hoping to change and, hoping that we'd have an opportunity to amplify more diverse voices. And, we had an opportunity, I thought, with the edit committee, and I was, proud of our work to create that, although I've been significantly disappointed by the lack of support it's received since.
All right. Let me ask you a couple of things, Joe. First of all, how many people are on the town council in Trumbull?
There are 21 seats on the town council in Trumbull.
And tell me a little bit, is the town council something that has, it's elected, I assume, 2-year terms?
Yes, it's elected 2-year terms. It's broken down by districts. Currently, there are 5 districts in Trumbull, although it's moving back to 7, which it had been originally.
And is it nonpartisan like many RTMs, or do you run with a political affiliation?
You run with a political affiliation. So normally what happens is the Republicans will put forward a slate both for town council and other boards. Along with like the first selectman treasurer and town clerk position, the Democrats will do the same. Occasionally, you'll have a few people running independently, but largely it's, the slates that are putting those forward. I would say it's very partisan.
And does the charter of Trumbull require that at all times there be a minority presence that's one less vote than the majority? Like if it's 21 people, is it always 11-10?
So, no. What it is there is a minority requirement by the district. So when there were 7 districts, there would be 3 council people. At least one of them had to not be from the same party. So you could have 2 Democrats and 1 Republican. You could have 2 Republicans and a Democrat. You could have 2 Republicans and an independent. And when we had that, the difference could be would be, 14-7. So if one party totally swept, there would still be 7 minority representatives. That changed a few years back when the town was under Republican control. They moved it to 5 districts, which greatly lessened that minority representation to the point where there could only in some situations I said 5 districts or 4 districts. There might only be 4 people. So that has kind of come back to bite the Republicans a bit. And they now only have 5 representatives on the town council. The Democrats have, majority control. And it's a supermajority at that.
So, and you said the town is going back to 7, so there should be some not equalization, but that you think that there'll be more minority representation going forward.
Yeah, that's the hope of it. And, hopefully that opens up the lines of communication a bit more. But I know that, when the Republicans are in power and there was a small minority of Democrats sitting there, the Democrats were ignored. They weren't consulted. They weren't discussed with. And now that the Democrats are in charge, the Republicans are kind of getting a taste of their own medicine.
Right. Well, that's what happens. This is what we see in Washington, D.C. Somebody starts to muscle in and all of a sudden they're on the wrong side of the majority and they're like, help, help. And then they cry hypocrisy, hypocrisy. But they're all this is what it is. So
well,
and
I will
in
say
Trumbull,
to the Democratic's credit, they are moving towards that 7 districts despite having that power. So
that does give them credit.
Them generally, I do think that that's, the right move. So,
OK, well, that's something that's notable because it's very unfortunately, all too rare that people share power. So let me ask you this. And tell me about the Trumbull demographics in general. Is it a town that, as you sort of alluded to, used to be Republican and is now more Democrat? What's Trumbull like?
It's an interesting town. It had been, under Republican control for quite some time. But prior to that, it was had Democratic leadership. So it really goes back and forth. The majority of Trumbull, I don't think, is actually affiliated with the party. I think the Democrats and Republicans each make up maybe about 25%. So it's kind of a purple town, I would say.
Well, that's excellent. So they're basically, if you get involved and you get your elbows in, you get to know the people in your community, and then you vote for them.
You know, that ideally that would be the way it goes, you know, and hopefully when we have seven smaller districts, it'll be easier, you know, for people to actually know, you know, their representatives. When you have only four districts, it's a much larger area to cover. So I think you also lose some of that, you know, personalization and you know, knowing who your representatives are. So, you know, it would be
just
nice
to give
see
people
more in that direction.
All right. And just to give people an idea of the demographics, according to the data I'm seeing, in 2018, Trumbull had a little bit over 36,000 people. The median age is young. It's only 43. And the median household income is high. It's 118,000 plus. And in fact, it may be more now. This is 2018. So it's a, you know, it's a pretty well-to-do, very healthily middle-class place. All right. So now with that background, for those of us listening in WICC who may not really know Trumbull all that well. So last night was this town council meeting. One other question for you, Joe. You say you were on it in 2020. Why did you leave the committee? Why did you leave town council?
I moved to Stamford, Connecticut. So unfortunately, moving, I was not able to maintain my seat. So
got it. Well, that's a good reason. So now you still obviously have an interest in it. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been on the Zoom last night. So tell us about it, Joe. From your point of view, what did happen last night? Did Tara Figueroa sustain her chairmanship? What was the general consensus and what was the talk?
Yeah, so I mean, there was a lot of talk and there was a lot of support, you know, for Tara, which I think was good. You know, I think the lack of support that, you know, the current administration has shown for the edit committee has really done a lot of damage to it. You know, it's done a lot of damage to Tara, you know, in terms of the threat that she received, which you mentioned. So in a lot of ways, I think sadly the edit committee has been damaged by that. You know, it's become clear, you know, the Democrats did put forward a resolution that would remove Tara as the chair. And I think that sends a message to, you know, anybody, you know, of color who might consider joining the edit committee, that if you do and you say something that, you know, the police or white people are uncomfortable with, you know, you may be removed and you may face threats and not have the support, you know, of the Democratic administration, which I think, you know, is tragic. So, you know, there was a lot of conversation last week or last night. The Republicans had actually put forward two resolutions, one to remove Tara completely from the committee and one to add a police officer, you know, to the committee, both of which were voted down and should have been. They're both ridiculous. The Democrats then softened the language on their resolution, which said that once the edit committee, the edit committee has lost half their members, four of their members have resigned, many of whom have resigned due to the lack of support that they've received from the town. So their resolution said that the committee is not able to meet until its full complement of eight members, meaning four more people will need to sign up for this, and then that the council will appoint a chairman and a vice chair. So initially it had said new chair and new vice chair, which, you know, clearly indicated their intent of removing Ms. Figueroa. They've adjusted it now just to say appoint. So I guess their argument would be, in theory, you know, Ms. Figueroa could be appointed again, but it's clear that, you know, with the lack of support she's receiving, you know, politically, you know, I don't see how anyone could expect that unless we see a really, you know, overwhelming show of support from her for her, which I certainly hope we do.
So wait a minute. Let me just backtrack on a couple of this. So
sure.
The resolution that passed essentially cripples the committee. It can't meet.
So the committee technically can't meet already because at four people, it doesn't have quorum. But yes, it does. And that was a point that I made last night, that all of the resolutions that were put forward have the same effect in which their efforts to silence the committee. They're either removing people who are strong voices on the committee or they're preventing it from meeting. And, you know, that obviously, you know, that has an effect. So to me, I spoke against all of the resolutions. I think they are all, you know, part of, you know, this effort to silence the committee. And while I don't think that's the intent of everyone on the council, you know, it becomes pretty clear that that's what they will, in effect, be doing.
We're talking with Joe Gerricks, a former member of the town council of Trumbull, who was actually on the council when the council created the edit committee. And he's talking about a resolution that actually passed last night. So the resolution, and by the way, when a resolution passes, does that make it effective? In other words, is that what that means? It then goes into being when they pass their resolution? Is that how they do business?
Yeah. So now, the edit committee is prevented from meeting until, the point in time which four new members will be added. I don't know exactly, what the timeline
is. But they didn't set a deadline for themselves. They could let it languish now for a year. They don't have to appoint them. They come from them, right?
Yeah. I think it's really going to be about the amount of pressure that's on them. And, I plan to apply pressure. I know there's a lot of people who were speaking last night, who plan to do the same. And, to be honest, if you want to accomplish anything, you have to keep that pressure on because a lot of people are unwilling to change.
Right. So, and this is very interesting to me. I understand that Tara was originally appointed chair, but typically, Joe, in my experience, usually a commission or committee appoints its own chair. And it sounds like the council removed this committee's ability to do that.
And I can't speak to that very well, and I apologize. I should be better versed on that. I'm not sure what the standard is. We spoke with the town's lawyer, so we were under the impression that was the standard, that we would appoint a chair. I do think it makes more sense for the committee to appoint their own chair, and I certainly think that would make more sense than putting it in.
It usually is the way it works. I mean, usually people among themselves appoint a chair. I mean, I've never seen a border commission that doesn't, frankly. But I could understand for the first time appointing a chair for the first, let's say, year, and then allowing the committee to go forward to choose its own leadership because it hadn't, because it was just starting.
Yeah, and that may have been the reasoning. I'm not too certain on that.
Yeah. So Tara is basically a figurehead of a committee that can't meet.
That's one way of saying. Yeah, they've been prevented from meeting really ever since this started. Even when they still had quorum, they were asked not to meet. So
yeah, okay. So are you going to get involved in Stanford politics now, Joe? do you have the stomach for Stanford? You're going to weigh back in the city that you've chosen? Come on, why not?
Well, I've got some other priorities. I am looking to open a comedy club here in Stanford. That's my
really?
Main business. I have the Fairfield Comedy Club. I think we spoke a few weeks ago.
That's why you know what? I'm thinking to myself, your name is familiar. I can't remember why. Well, thank you very much for telling me that. Yeah. Hello. Yeah, you're a regular, but I've got Alzheimer's. Hello. Well, anyway, Joe, thank you. Yes. So, and is life funny? Can we, is anything funny going on?
Lisa, everything is funny. Everything is funny.
Oh, it has. If you have to look at life sideways, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry. Right.
Exactly.
And
that's what we're doing.
And sometimes.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So give us a little bit of a prop. Let's hear about the Fairfield Comedy Club or what's happening in Stanford. Come on. You're on the air. Let's hear about it.
Well, yeah. Well, Fairfield, we're running shows in Fairfield and Stanford now. Actually, this Thursday, we have a couple shows at J.B. Percival, which is a wonderful little wine bar by the train station in Fairfield. And then the Thursday after that, we are at the Connecticut Cigar Company here in Stamford. So we've been doing regular shows, but we're very excited. We're going to be doing our comedy festival again starting in May. So we're starting to lock in some venues. And by the end of May, we'll have a lot of larger outdoor shows. So, things are ramping up. We're excited that people are getting vaccinated, that it's getting safe to, be together again. And we're looking forward to being fully ramped up and operational.
Those COVID routines just write themselves, Joe. They just write themselves. Well, anyway, I want to thank you for coming on. Thanks for calling in. So the bottom line is...
Thanks for covering this. I think it's important that, people are aware of it. I hope, if people are listening and, they're outraged like I am, I encourage them to reach out to, the Trumbull government, the first selectmen, the, town council members, and let them know where you stand.
Hey, by the way, Joe, I didn't ask you this. I really should ask you this. It's very relevant to the conversation. What is your race? Are you white or black?
I'm white.
You're white, because we haven't met in person, so I wouldn't know. And obviously, I need to ask you that because that's what this is about. This is a conversation about race. So, yeah.
Well, my hope would be that, regardless of the color of your skin, that you could see, kind of the bullshit nature of what's going on here. So. And certainly I was happy to see that there were, you know, many people of color and many white people as well speaking last night in support of Tara and of the Edit Committee.
Yes, but obviously this is not coming down to just partisan party lines, because even within the Democratic majority in Trumbull, there was resistance to a lot of what was being said, obviously.
Well, you have a lot of Democrats in Trumbull who, to be honest, I think calling them moderate is putting it softly. There's a lot of Democrats in Trumbull who were former Republicans who found distaste with the previous administration and still wanted to be politically involved. And, you know, I don't think the Democratic Party in Trumbull represents where the Democratic Party is or should be, you know, nationally or even, you know, across the state very well.
Well, that's another whole interesting conversation, Joe, because I've been predicting that the Democratic Party in Connecticut will definitely move rightward. And that may not be such a terrible thing. It may be a terrible thing as how it plays out in the Edit Committee. It may not be such a terrible thing for Connecticut as a whole with respect to a lot of other policies. But there is no question that as droves of people left the Republican Party, as you just said, and want to stay politically active, they're going to try and find a home within the Democratic Party. They're going to be shifting it a little bit more towards their original values. That's what's going to happen. Yep.
I hope there's a counterweight for that as well. But Lisa, thank you.
Happy
to be here.
There is. Yeah. Thank you very much, Joe. Thanks so much. And
happy
good luck with the comedy clubs in Fairfield and Stamford. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show. You're welcome. We'll be right back.